This is Taste of Country Nights with Evan Paul on demand, the spot where you get all the interviews with your favorite country artists, and we get in there, man. We have a lot of fun with them, too. On this week's episode, Aaron Watson joins the show. Let's jump right into it. All right, we're hanging out here. We got Aaron Watson in here. It's been a while.
It's been a minute or 4 years.
Yeah, but the last time you were here, you had just put out an album, and now you have another. What was the 3 year gap there?
Man, we were talking earlier about like when people say how you been, even if you haven't been good, you don't tell them the truth because you don't want to have to elaborate. But man, the last 4 years, I've had two vocal cord surgeries. Yeah, and it kind of made me push the pause button multiple times, and so. I don't know, man. Coming out of that, I'm doing great now. I have a newfound appreciation for my career, for the fans. I mean, I've always felt like I've always really held both of those things up on a pedestal. But now I'm just like, man, life is short. This new record, Horse Named Texas, has got 26 songs on it. The Platinum Edition or whatever we're going to call it, it's going to have 40. But I've already got the next record finished. And that's the thing, like Horse Named Texas is chapter one of the next era. It's day one of the next 5 years, the 5 year plan. So, man, I'm telling you what, the house is paid off and the kids are grown and I'm about to go for broke.
Wow.
I'm going to be all up in country music's kitchen for the next 5 years. And then I'll probably just stay in the kitchen. I got nowhere else to go.
So. Are you still producing and writing and everything all by yourself?
Yeah. I mean, I probably wrote most of this. I mean, 99% of this record by myself. I love co-writing when I have the opportunity, but we play so many shows. And then, you know, I was at one publishing company when we were working on this record and the guy actually told me, and I'm kind of friends with him. He actually said, you know, he said, don't take this wrong. He said, but a lot of the, like my best writers, he said, they probably wouldn't be interested in writing with a writer at your level. And he did this. Now you can look at this two ways.
Is that mid?
You could look at this. At least he didn't do this.
Right.
He didn't do that. But it was a funny moment where you can either let that discourage you or you can let that fuel your fire and piss you off a little bit. And now, I mean, I wake up every morning, probably 4:30. I make coffee. I'm going to need one of those. But that's actually what kids eat Cheerios out of. but like, it's like I've already finished the next record and the next record actually is we've taken it to the next level and it's, this Horse Named Texas is the best record I've ever made. And then now this next one, and that's where, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the having vocal cord surgery and just having time to reflect on like, man, you got one life to live. I'm so lucky that I get to do this every day. I don't need to take this for granted. It also could be the fact that I got a son who is writing music and playing. Already has labels in town interested in him. And I'm like, you little turd, you hadn't even made him. But he's so good. And we're writing a lot. I think that's lit a fire under the old man. A, I want him to see what hard work and hustle can do. Also, he's going to have to put up a fight before his old man opens up a show for him. You know? I'm like, dude, I'm fixing. Like, it's kind of one of those things where it's like, you know, I got to make sure I push the pedal a little harder. Yeah. You know, it's like when you're out there playing basketball with them and you know they're better than you, but you just play harder and maybe a little dirty. It's like my boys won't fight me because my middle boy, he can straight up whip me.
Okay.
Like, but he's like, we'll start wrestling around and he does all the jujitsu stuff, which that's cheating.
Yeah, like, that's professional.
Put me in a headlock.
Right,
choke
right.
me out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Don't break my femur.
Nobody, right. Nobody's jujitsuing at a bar fight. Right.
How'd you break your arm and your leg? I was like, oh, just a little grapple with my son. But he won't fight me because he's like, yeah, dad, because you bite and you pull hair And this is totally random. I have ADD, but one time, this is a few years ago, we were wrestling, and I don't know, I have him by his hair. You know, in today's world, it's maybe abuse, but he's got me by my arm or something, and somehow I grab him by his head, and I bury his face into the carpet, and his braces
got caught
in the carpet, and they got caught so bad that, like, I was caught in multiple places where, like, I'm having to get under there with these little tiny scissors and surgically remove his face from the floor.
So he was just stuck there?
Yeah. And I took a long time to find the scissors. You doing all right, buddy? You doing good? There's pictures, you know, but it's been so much fun. And my daughter, I can't leave out my favorite. You know, she's 16 and she writes songs that blows my mind. So it's just, I still got a lot to prove and I got so much to live for. And, you know, I've always idolized the Willie Nelson career path where, you know, Willie didn't really turn the heat up until his 40s with the old Redheaded Stranger. So I'm still in pursuit.
Have you ever met Willie?
Oh, I've played shows with him. I got a song with him.
Wow.
Yeah, everybody have to check out a song I did with him, Honky Tonk Kid off my Real Good Time record. And Waylon Jennings, steel player, Ralph Mooney. It was Ralph's last solo that he played before he passed away.
Wow.
So it was a pretty special. But yeah, Willie's, you know, I've got so many Willie records that people don't even have, like Willie Nelson live at Panther Hall when he had Johnny Bush playing on the drums. I mean, I love him. Who doesn't? I mean, everybody loves him.
Well, another guy, you have a song on the record, Haggard Blues.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever met Merle?
I never got to meet Merle. I had the opportunity a couple times. And one time I had the opportunity to meet him, he wasn't feeling good and was kind of in a cranky mood. And I was just like, I'm not going to mess with him. I was like, I'm just going to let him be Merle Haggard, my hero. I didn't want to, he wasn't feeling good. And he was recording an album or recording some songs at Ray Benson's studio, Sleep at the Wheel. And he wasn't feeling good. So I wanted to give him a space. And, you know, what I really didn't want is one of my favorite heroes to be in a bad mood and kick me out or something, you know, which,
yeah,
you know, so I just, it's good to just let your heroes be your heroes. But I got to see him in concert. Man, just great stuff. I think about all the people I've got to play with and see over the years. It's great memories.
But if you flip that on yourself, like at this point, so many albums in, you're someone's hero. So how do you carry that weight in knowing that some kid might want to come back and meet you after a show, but you feel like crap?
Oh, I suck it up. I mean, it's not about me. So, I mean, and a lot of these artists that like me, it's not the famous ones on record labels. It's the other 99.999% of artists in the world. It's the independent artists. So, you know, I just feel it's my duty to take time to be like, hey, so here's how you do this. It, you know, music is a business, and make good decisions, have a good product, work hard, be a hustler. I mean, I could run a record label in this town. They'd probably be way more successful. And that's just because, I mean, we've had number one records. We've done things that no other independent organization has ever done. And that's just because we make good decisions. We focus on the music. We focus on the fans. And we work. We get out there and play shows. Like, play. Get out there and play. So, I mean, but I'm still learning. And that's what's fun. And more importantly, I can give all these young artists a long list of things to don't do, you know, like, let me tell you what you don't do, because I didn't have anybody to tell me that. But, you know, Larry Gatlin's in the building. Larry gave me lots of great advice in the beginning. So it's artists should always take the time for other artists, always.
And you mentioned your kids. Is it easier being a dad now that they're older or more fun? Or is it, what about when they were younger compared?
Man, I've loved every stage. I mean, you know, when they're little cute babies, you just can't stop kissing on them. And there's just that. And then, you know, I remember, you know, when they're little, you can't wait till they can walk and you can't wait till they can talk. And then I couldn't wait till the boys could play ball. Is that me?
Siri got you.
That's creepy.
I know. Mine does that too.
That actually scared me. This is a new phone. I just got it. So that's never happened before.
Hey, Siri. Hey, we can have them battle.
Look at that. But every stage with the kids has been fun. And now it's different. I'll tell you, one of the reasons I always stayed independent is that I never could commit to the time of signing a deal. I was already touring like crazy. I couldn't stand being away from the kids any more than I was. And I would, man, when I'd leave that front door to get on the bus, there'd be tears. And then when I'd come home, three kids would come from all three different directions and they would tackle me at the same time. Y'all, now I will get home on Friday. I've been gone for 2 weeks. I'll video it and tag y'all on it. I'll open the door and be like, I'm home. And you almost hear crickets.
That's crazy.
Because they've become their own people. Now my dog, Bandy, dude, she loses her freaking mind. She'll pee all over the floor. And obviously sometimes when they're like, man, Bandy, wish we got treated as good as Bandy. And I was like, well, if you
peed on the floor
with excitement. But every stage is fun. And so, you know, but it has given me the freedom. It's like I told people, you know, I'm more dangerous as an artist now than I ever have been. Cause A, I don't care. B, the house is paid off. And my kids are grown. And I'll never, ever regret missing award shows or opportunities because I was home for baseball games or ballets. I will never regret that.
Do you think that not being a part of the Nashville machine cost you anything?
Yeah, 110%. Also, and this is a fact, for the first half of my career, everyone in this town was like, you know, how committed are you to your cowboy hat and your boots and your buckle? We don't do hat acts. I mean, you remember this. It was one of those deals. Oh, Texas music doesn't work. And it does. It just doesn't work. I mean, it's wild, but sudden. Like in 2000 and, I don't know, 19, the last time I went to an award show, it's me and about three other dudes wearing cowboy hats.
Yeah, yeah.
And now, I'm telling you right now, like, it blows my mind to see some of these guys that were looked like they were shopping at the Buckle. They went from the Buckle to the Boom Barn. Yeah. Well, bam. Some of these guys, I'm like, hey, have you ever seen a bad movie and like a bad Western where all the characters they're in this Western takes place in 1850. You live in a town with dirt roads and you ride horses all day. But you see their clothes.
Yeah, dressed to the T. Yeah.
And they're brand new. Uh-huh. Like they almost don't have the unfolded marks in them.
Yeah.
These guys need to at least like get their hat shaped, wash the new clothes that they got at Boot Barn. And before you take a press photo with your boots kicked up, like go out in the parking lot and scrape them up or something. Like you got, so it's, but I will tell you this, I love it. Like I love, is this country music? And while I love the different flavors, I mean, I'm an artist. I love art. I love all the different flavors of country music now. As an independent artist, I love it. But for a while, mainstream country music, they kept out the cowboy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was always like, oh, we're all about everyone, but we don't. So it's, I like the fact that for the first time in my life, I've actually kind of been in style. Now, I'm sure it'll, you know, it's an ever-changing thing. I'll lose my fashion cred here. But I love where country music's at. And I love Nashville. I mean, I've done so much business in Nashville. And also, the labels have become much more receptive to me. It was frowned upon when I had a number one record independently. It was a threat. I mean, it was a threat to the system that, oh, there's this guy that didn't sign a deal.
Right.
That's getting some radio play. Right. And he has the number one album. That was, and I mean, I felt that, but I also kind of like being that guy. So
yeah, it's kind of an outlaw deal.
Yeah. Man. I mean, it's, I don't know. I don't really talk about being an outlaw, but when you don't even care what the outlaw, you know, Instagram accounts say and all that stuff, I'm just kind of like, I don't have to say I'm an outlaw. We've got 20 independent albums and, you know, we do. I mean, it's just one of those things. Like, you don't have to drink whiskey and snort cocaine to be an outlaw. Actually, you got to be more of an outlaw to not.
Yeah, that's a good quote.
You know?
Yeah.
And my mom won't let me. So, and outlaws love their mamas too, right?
That's right. That's right. Let's talk about Gone Fishing.
Yeah.
Another one record on the song. Give me the story behind that, because that kind of acknowledges the aging. And
you know, I've probably got a handful of songs over my career that are very similar in content, even on this new album that we're in the middle of working on. And I think it's because I've had some very impactful moments sitting bedside with some old men that meant the world to me.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the kind of things that change you. You know, when you're sitting there with your granddad in his last moments and you realize this is it. I'm going to live the rest of my life without this hero of an old man. And so that's the thing about Gone Fishing. Gone Fishing is, you know, don't think of me as gone. I'm not gone. I'm gone fishing. And it's very much kind of a little gospel song, because that's the thing, like the peace that I have losing loved ones. And I lost a daughter. The peace that I have in losing a child and losing my grandparents and my mom and dad are not in great health. I find peace knowing that because of Jesus, I'm going to get to see them again someday. This isn't a goodbye. It's just kind of a, we'll see you down the road. You know, don't think of me as gone, just gone fishing.
Great song. Great message.
And so thank you. Yeah. So that was a fun one to write. That one took me a little while to finish. Thanks for asking about that one.
Yeah, man. Hell yeah. Do you wish you wrote Choosing Texas?
Oh, that's a great song.
I know. I saw you vibing out. I saw you talking about it.
Oh, it's such a great song. I think Miranda was a part of that song.
Yeah.
When I heard that song, I kind of freaked out. But, you know, it's like these girls singing about my hometown. I grew up in Amarillo. I live in Abilene. I'm like, man, y'all singing about my town. First of all, those places are 4.5 hours away. So I'm like, where is homie going? Where's he going?
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Like, these towns are not close to each other. But
do you almost feel like they should have come to you for a fact check?
It would have been nice, you know. But I'll tell you this. So my daughter loves Ella, obviously. And who doesn't, right? And so one day my daughter said, Dad, do you think that Ella Langley knows who you are? And I was like, heck yeah, they all know who I am. But, you know, everybody knows who your daddy is. And I was like, I know she doesn't. She doesn't know who I am. So, but of course, as a dad, you have to flex, right?
How old is your daughter?
16.
Okay,
and I said,
ahead.
She knows who I am. She knows who your daddy is. And she goes, well, she doesn't follow you on Instagram.
Oh, okay.
So I made a funny video being like, hey, Ella. My name's Aaron Watson. I'm a little country singer guy. If you could follow me, that'd make me a really cool dad. She didn't follow me. She literally made a comment and she said, you seem like you're a lot. And I don't know what that means, but I am. I'm a lot. But you know.
So you don't know if she knows you or not?
Well, she sure enough commented on my post, which... In a roundabout way, see, Ella's somebody's daughter. She knew what she was doing. She was giving the dad a little tip, but not giving him full credit. She didn't allow me to go in there and go, that's what I'm talking about.
Right.
But
dude, you're right.
She knew what she was doing.
Yeah.
Daughters, man.
Yeah. God. She's, yeah, you're right.
But I really love her sound. you know, it's cool to see like how far she's come. I've actually used her as a good example with my daughter, who is a writer and a singer. I'm like, hey, just for a minute, I want you to look at what Ella was doing 7 or 8 years ago. Mm-hmm. I go, look how much she has improved. Look how much she's improved. And there's a lot to learn there where, you know, as an artist, it takes you a while sometimes to find your thing, your vibe. And I'm sure she'll continue to change, but oh, these songs are so good. It's just kind of stupid.
Yeah.
It's stupid. And you know, she's done it with her music because there's lots of pretty girls out there, you know, twirling around. I mean, it's highly competitive. I mean, obviously she's a cute gal, but there's a lot of cute gals. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's done it with her music. I mean, her music is, it's risen above the rest. So
oh, you gave her a,
I'm here.
Yeah.
Aaron Watson is here.
Yeah. That's what I noticed that. Yeah.
Ella would be up higher if my arms were longer.
Okay. What about Tucker Wetmore and his pancake butt?
You know, Tucker, it needed to be addressed. You know, I mean, it needed to be talked about. I'm sitting there in the morning. I have my routine.
Yeah.
I wake up, I make my coffee, I work on my songs. In between songs, I might do a little scrolling and I scroll up and there's Tucker Wetmore there, you know. Up at the front of the bus with his pants down. Yeah. Now, here's my problem. I have a real problem with that picture if his bus driver was sitting in that seat that he was facing.
Oh, yeah.
Has anybody thought about him and is he okay?
Probably not Tucker.
No.
Probably Tucker didn't think about it.
No, but I mean, I think Tucker's great. My boys love listening to Tucker, so I get it, you know, exposed. Right. I get exposed to a lot of artists thanks to my boys.
But wait, how did you address that with your daughter? What are you?
Oh, what Tucker did?
Yeah.
I don't think she follows him.
Okay. So you just didn't talk. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell her like I tell her about every boy. We're all idiots.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true.
We're just all idiots.
I also wanted to bring up something you said on one of your, like, it's not the tailgate talk, but.
Oh, yeah.
But it was something you said about Casey Musgraves.
Oh, yeah.
About being American. Do any of these artists reach back out to you after you do that?
Like Zach Bryan started kind of like, he started making comments on some of my posts. He said some weird stuff. He said, hey, Aaron. On a random post, he just hopped on there and said, hey, Aaron, where are all the dead bodies at?
What?
And I responded back to him. I said, why don't you come to the ranch and I'll show you. Here's the deal, bro. 3,000 honky-tonk shows later, I'm scrappy. I'm going to get in a couple good punches. If I get my rear kicked, it's going to be good for social media. And if I whoop the fire out of somebody, it'll be,
well, he already kind of got into it. You seen him get into it with Gavin Adcock. He almost hopped the fence. What if he came and did that to you?
Oh, I'm on that fence. I'm on that fence like a chihuahua. I am on that fence. First of all, like I had buddies who were playing that festival. They said all day long he was on the same side of the fence as Gavin. All day long he was right there.
Yeah, that's what Gavin said too, yeah.
Yeah, and the other thing is like, man, who hops off, unless you're in prison?
Barbed wire.
He's lucky he didn't hurt himself. Also, you just sold your catalog for $200 million. Stop. Also, he played some show that at that festival. He got on stage with some young female artist and sang a song with her. And instead of just making it about her, he made it about he and Gavin's beef. So, I mean, I can talk some smack. I mean, you know, I played college ball. I mean, I'm good at it. I rode the bench a lot. So you gotta somehow help the team out. But I have fun with this stuff. I think the deal with what I said with that deal is I was like, listen, guys, in the grand scheme of things, I don't care who plays the Super Bowl halftime show. And I don't care who played the Turning Point thing. Who cares? Like, right. In the grand scheme of things, somebody's in a hospital right now fighting for their life, you know, and I'm a fan of Casey's music, but you know, getting on there and she was poking and prodding at Chris or at not Chris Rock, at Kid Rock, different genres.
Sorry, Chris.
Sorry, Chris. But it was one of those things where it's like, oh, come on. You felt more American. That made you feel American. Go to a VA hospital.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but dude, Hollywood, famous people, just sharing their completely unrealistic thoughts. Like, I feel like I kind of think, I live in a small town. I love everybody. If you want to believe this, that's great. If you want to believe that, that's great. That's the beauty of America.
Right.
And if you're so shallow and tender that because somebody doesn't think like you, that makes you hate them. If you hate someone because they don't think just like you, then you're actually the problem.
Yeah.
You're the problem. And so for me, like, you could think completely opposite of me, and that's none of my business, actually.
Yeah, I always say, like, I want to get back to the days where, like, you let somebody in traffic, they could be someone that was doing something, like, they think something totally different than you, and everybody's happy. Like, nowadays, people are like, I'm not letting that guy in. He's got this kind of license plate.
Go kill him. Yeah. You know, growing up, I have a lot of family in California, and we'd have Thanksgiving dinner, and half of us go to the Church of Christ. Half of us go to the Baptist church. Half of us are Democrats. Half of us are Republicans.
Yes.
You know? Okay.
We got to get back to that.
We're more likely to get in a fight talking about the Dallas Cowboys and the New York Giants or the Redskins or somebody, you know, something involving the Yankees or the Dodgers. That's what gets me fired up. Dodgers talking smack all the time when they spent $50 trillion. Yes, you should win the World Series. You just, come on, don't even get me started.
I won't,
I feel it happening.
Well, dude, I usually at this time ask people what's next, but you already told me you have your next album done and the one after that done. I'm going to switch it up. What's life looking like for you when you hit 80?
When I hit 80? Probably there will be a stool on the stage.
Still playing.
Still. Why wouldn't I want to play?
Wow.
Why wouldn't I want to go play music with my buddies?
Yeah.
And I know my wife's going to want me out of the house a couple of days a week. She needs it. She needs that break.
That's fair.
But I'm like, you know, maybe I'll play golf and go fishing and play a few shows every week. I mean, you know, Lord willing, but I love country music. I love that it's had this resurgence. I truly, you know, it just root for everyone. I that's the deal. There's enough love to go around. There's enough for everybody. I mean, and you know, I've always been independent, and there's some pretty good scraps that fall off the table as well. You know, I mean, I had my booking agent a while back called me up and said, hey, they offered this show to this big artist, but that wasn't enough for them. Would you want it? I was like, you dang right. Bring that on over here, you know?
That's awesome that you still do that.
Oh, dude, I'll go play acoustic shows on an off day if I don't have anything better to do, just because you're making music. Like, you're making music. You're making people happy.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I just love to play. I love music. I mean, that's kind of how I feel about Willie. I think even if Willie Nelson wasn't iconic, I truly believe that old man would be playing at some rundown honky-tonk or dance hall every weekend, you know? So when you're doing what you love, it's not work. And also, playing music is not work.
Right.
Driving a T-post, stretching wire, you know, spreading asphalt on a highway,
that's
cleaning
work.
Toilets, the things my dad did, that's work.
Yeah.
doing this, signing autographs, having Texas Roadhouse delivered to my bus. That's not work. That's not work. And anybody, when I hear artists talk about how hard they've been working, I'm just like, okay. And I'm not saying that it's not.
No, it's not. This is refreshing. This is good.
I'm not saying it's not, but like, there's times I'm tired. I've been on airplanes and I'm on a bus and I'm going and going and going. But like, I haven't broke a sweat in here.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if this is work.
Yeah.
You know. I'm not going to walk out of here and go, God, I'm exhausted. That is
right, right.
That was laborious.
Yeah.
You know, so it's all how you look at it and where you've come from. And I don't know. I'm having more fun than I've ever had. And we're going to have a lot more fun with the tailgate talks. And sometimes, too, like I called one artist out. It's because from the stage, he said some awful things to the fans. Country music fans are royalty, period. If you owned a restaurant, would you walk up to someone sitting at a table and just insult them in front of the rest of the restaurant?
No, yeah.
You wouldn't do it.
Uh-uh.
And it's business is business.
Yeah.
So, you know, the other thing, too, is a lot of these artists, they kind of skipped the honky-tonk dance hall phase of their career. They went straight from TikTok to a major stage, which is cool. Like I'm a big fan of Bailey Zimmerman and how he did it because he's humble and he's appreciative. He's a fun kid.
Yeah.
There's nothing to not love about that.
Yeah.
Like that's the American dream. But there's another TikToker that went from that to that. And I'm like, hey, just so you know, if you did that at a honky tonk in Texas and you didn't have your security team, that guy you said that to, he would beat the tar out of you after your show, or he might just come up there right in the middle of your set. Like, I have played places with chicken wire, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know. I just like, if there's low hanging fruit there and we can have some fun with it, but I'll never do anything out of like hate. Everything has to be kind of funny and silly. And,
right, right.
You know, it's gotta, you know, in the grand scheme of things, sometimes I'm like, man, was I a little bit. But then I'm like, no, that, you know, if my mom's okay with it, she's kind of my filter. You know, I did have to take a post down 2 days ago for my mom.
What was it?
I did a podcast talking about the weirdest thing that's ever happened at my show. And I'm like, well, I said, every now and then there literally will be a woman breastfeeding right in front of me. And I'm like, that's a wild thing to happen in front of you.
Oh, your mom got you on that.
Well, we did the podcast, but then I said, you know what I need to do is start carrying. My wife had them when she was breastfeeding. It's actually called a Hide-A-Hooter. Okay? That's the brand, yeah. Hide-A-Hooter,
uh-huh.
Which I've talked about it so much, they should give me a sponsor. Aaron Watson's tour is sponsored by Hide-A-Hooter.
Okay.
So one of my buddies made some type of AI picture of, you know, some woman with a Aaron Watson Hide-A-Hooter with, and they come in all different colors. So I posted that and I was like, anybody think we should start carrying this at our merch booth? And my mom was like, my mom made a comment. She's like, I don't think this is appropriate. I don't like this. And then I called, I'm like, mom. And she goes, I do not like it. She said, I do not like those kind of names for women's parts.
Wow.
So like a good boy, I deleted it.
Wow.
Can't make mama mad.
That's
even outlaws don't want to make mama mad.
That's awesome. That's inspirational, man.
God. All these years.
That's what
I'm still, you know, you got to make your mama happy, though.
Yeah, amen.
Always.
Man. Well, dude, thanks for coming
by. Dude, y'all are awesome.
Talk.
Let's not wait 4 years.
Yeah.
I mean, I just feel like I've been snobby.
Yeah,
I feel like
I didn't want to say it.
I just feel like I went through a phase, a snobby phase.
You know, I think last time you were here, you stood up the whole time too. Like you were like pissed. Not
was
pissed.
I amped?
You were amped. Yeah.
That's
I think
probably because I drank a soup bowl worth of coffee.
Well, thanks for stopping by, man.
I'm a big fan of you guys. I love what you do. Thanks. Thank you for what you do for country music and so many artists. And this does more for me than y'all ever imagined. So
thank you, man.
Thanks, brother.
Hell yeah.
Appreciate you.
Appreciate you, man.
Thanks, brother.
What a wild ride that was. Let's bring in Billy Dukes from behind the scenes to chat about this one with Aaron Watson. What you got, man?
Like 15, 20 minutes, not enough with Aaron Watson. If you're booking Aaron Watson, pro tip, give yourself a good 30 minutes to 60 minutes because he just takes the interview places and you kind of have to hang on for a little bit of it.
Yeah, he's so wild. I'm just glad he was sitting down this time because I remember the first time I interviewed him, he was standing up the whole time and it was intense. Like, because I was sitting down and I was just like, dude, he's such a real deal guy, man. I love just watching how he interacts with his kids and his fans and what his stories that he tells. His social media is awesome.
Yeah, I would say is more than any other artist that I've ever met who's had a level of success. And first, kind of define that, right? Like, he is like a huge, huge Texas artist. Big in Oklahoma, surrounding states, not as big nationally, but still does very well when he tours in other parts of the country. But like, he comes across more as, like, everybody always says, oh, he comes across as a normal guy. And they say that about like Luke Combs, and they say that about like, you know, just about any, Luke Bryan, any other artist. But like, when he's telling the story about how like a publisher told him that his songwriting was like mid-tier, like, Luke Combs isn't telling that story. You know what I mean? Like he tells the humbling or the almost borderline humiliating stories. He has no reason to feel humiliated, but I think you see what I'm getting at. Like, he tells the stories that could be embarrassing to other artists, and it's really refreshing.
Yeah, no, I totally understand. And I think that goes along with the whole, it's kind of a new age outlaw vibe. You know, it's a Texas artist vibe. He doesn't care. He'll say anything that's on his mind. And like you said, he'll put it out there. He talks on everything from current country music to things people shouldn't be doing. Like, and he you heard the interaction with LL Langley on social media. He'll do that. And I think that's funny. And, you know, I'm not saying he's an older artist per se. I mean, he is a little older, but a lot of the artists in that age group don't want to maybe possibly do that kind of stuff that needs to be done marketing wise, social media wise. And I think that he has really embraced it.
Who is this publisher, by the way, who's saying that he's a mid-tier? Like, I feel like that guy, we needed to spend a little bit more time fleshing out that guy's motives. Because when it, you know, maybe he's not writing like super mainstream kind of top 40 hits, but like the songwriting on his albums is like tremendous. And he's been doing it for a really long time.
I bet it was the same person that wrote Quit on a napkin and put it in a tip jar for Hardy.
Yes, that guy got a job. Yeah. He's still out there just doing damage.
Yeah.
Another story I thought was really funny was him talking about wrestling with his boys and getting his son's braces caught in the carpet and taking a little longer than necessary to find the scissors.
Yeah, that's so relatable, man. Did you wear braces? I wore braces.
Well, that, and it also, as a parent, have you had a situation where, like, your kid gets hurt, but all you can do is laugh?
Yeah, pretty much every day, I guess, yeah. And I also have those that are like, you know, the kid's jumping on the couch and nothing will stop him. And you're almost like, man, I kind of wish he would fall down, but like not hurt himself. And, you know, that way he teaches himself a lesson. And, you know, those moments happen. And, you know, I don't know. Those are the highlights of parenting right there. You know, that's God telling your kid to get off the couch and gently urging them.
We had this one bunk bed type situation that kind of went up against a wall that had a window on it. And because they were young and thin, they could kind of like get in that space between the top rail of the bunk bed and like the window well kind of push out.
Okay.
And one of them did. And like there's several slats of wood there right up against it. So they got stuck. Like they couldn't, they didn't have the upper body strength to pull themselves back out. They couldn't have the leverage to push the bed off the wall. So they were just sort of stuck, pressed against the window. And, you know, dad. I'm like, so I come in and I see what's happening. I'm like, all right, hold on. I'm coming. I went and got the camera. I mean, because you got to take a picture of that, right?
Right.
Took a picture. And then I slowly climbed up there, pulled him out, and everything was fine. But, like, it's like those moments is like, man, you just got to document this.
Yeah. Oh, totally. And I'm sure most parents are like you and I and do stuff like that.
I hope so.
Absolutely. Even back in the 80s and 90s when the parents grabbed the camcorders, you know, hold on, let me get the camcorder. And they pull it up, which, by the way, I think those need to make a comeback. We need the on-the-shoulder camcorders.
You think there's a market for that?
Yeah, because we went to Dollywood not too long ago, my family, and we saw there's so many of the younger generation using what I call them drunk girl cameras from like early 2000s. You know, the little cameras that you could take everywhere, just a little cheap camera. There's so many of those. They're using those again. And I feel like there's a market for that.
They're still digital though, presumably. You're not suggesting we bring back VHS tapes.
No. Yeah. I mean, they can still be digital and, you know, you don't need the VHS, but, you know, it needs to be when you go on a family outing or you have a birthday party or a family reunion, there needs to be somebody holding a big, you know, the big shoulder camera, man, or the one that was on the hand, the Sony that Velcroed to your hand. Like, it'll make a comeback. Everything's making a comeback.
You know what the low-key, like, nice thing about that style of camcorder was? Like, if you were the awkward guy at, like, the family or the social get-together who just didn't like talking to people, and, like, you know, you were jumping first up if someone needed somebody to film something, right? Because then you didn't have to talk to anybody. You could just film.
Yeah, and now, if you do that now, you just look like a jerk that's filming everybody on your phone, and people probably think you're a pervert, but put the thing 100%. Back on your shoulder, and you're the camera guy that doesn't have to talk to anybody.
Yeah, that's a low-key casualty from the digital age, I guess, is awkward guy needs to find something else to do, which, you know, there's other things for awkward guy to do. I can tell you, you can play with the kids. That's always a good one. An awkward guy favorite is to play with the kids.
Yeah.
Clean up the kitchen.
Yeah, snack, find the food, disappear.
Refill drinks. Awkward guy can also be, like, really chivalrous, like, helpful guy.
Yeah, there's a lot of awkward guys out there, that's for sure.
Does it sound like I'm speaking from personal experience here, Evan?
It absolutely 100% does, Billy. I'm not going to lie to you, man.
All right, so Aaron, good album here. You hit the one song I wanted you to ask him about, the Gone Fishing song.
Yeah,
there's a lot of other good kind of personal songs. He keeps finding, like, things from his life to write about that are still relatable, which is cool to me.
Yeah, that's cool. And hopefully we'll get a song about the Ella Langley, you know, my daughter thought I was cool, you know, Walker Hayes type song, you know, that would be cool. Has he ever worked with Walker Hayes? I feel like they would make a good little fun song.
I don't know if they have ever collaborated together. I feel like they would get along really well, right? Like, musically, they're really, really different, but both are into sports. They're a similar age. Both lost a kid. And both kind of have a little bit of a, like, an outsider persona or attitude. I feel like there's a lot of relatable things there that they might really kind of connect in some sort of interesting way.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. You know, I'm not much of a friend matchmaker, but if I were going to start a business, maybe they'd be top 10 on the list of people that I'd go to hook up, you know, as far as friendship.
This kind of bugs me that Ella Langley didn't know who Aaron Watson was. I guess she's from Alabama, not Texas.
I mean, just because like she doesn't follow him, I feel like doesn't mean she doesn't know who he is.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, I feel fair. Like right. She, I mean, Ella Langley is not commenting on everybody's post that everybody makes about her. I feel she knows who he is. I feel she does. I don't think he just didn't want to say it.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Fair enough. I apologize. I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt on that one.
Yeah. You know, but they, you know, the fun fact is that Abilene and the other, what's the other city in the song? They're 4.5 hours apart. Not a lot of people know that. I think that's a little mind blowing. Where's Dude? Where was Dude going?
What are the odds that Aaron pulled out a physical map and charted that?
I could see that. I could see him checking the legit farmer's almanac once a week too. Definitely.
He's just up there with his. With his glasses on, yeah. And he's just going, no. That, logistically, this isn't working. Like, this isn't possible here. Like, Ella.
Yeah.
She needs to know about this. I'm going to put it in my next tailgate talk.
Yeah, I think that he wakes up, drinks black coffee, and is ready to fire. That's what I love about him. He's got so much energy, which still goes, you know, you can see him in his live shows. It shows on stage, man. The guy is just a ball of energy that loves what he does.
Yeah. And he's a lot of fun. He's one of these guys. Always welcome back in the studio.
Yeah, anytime. You know, and speaking of coming into the studio, next week we have, who do we have?
I believe we have the, we're doing Larkin Poe and teamed up with maybe Corey Kent. Is that right?
Or yes. Are we doing the... That's right, yes. Yeah. Corey Kent and...
Larkin Poe.
Yes. Okay. And then also coming up, we have Ty Herndon, we have Amy Grant, we have Wade Jennings, all joining the show here at Taste of Country Nights on Demand. Thank you so much for checking us out.